Today on Off Mic, the move to get more Latinos vaccinated is happening this weekend. A local state representative is sponsoring a mass vaccination site in Hammond where a Spanish singer, a food giveaway, and flowers will be available to anyone who gets a vaccine. And a new political organization is trying to get more moms elected. And the news that Northwest Indiana's largest city will soon be without a full-service hospital isn't sitting well with the city's mayor. And the battle between DC and Marvel heats up again. Who wins? All this on Off Mic. Welcome to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. President Joe Biden has announced a goal of ensuring 70% of adults receive at least one dose of the coronavirus vaccine by July 4th. The president is urging people in their 20s and 30s in particular to get the shot. But it's been difficult to get some groups to get it for a variety of reasons. Even some minority groups have been slow to getting the shot. On Saturday, Indiana State Representative Michael Andrade is hosting a mass vaccination event in Hammond. This one is geared toward the Latino community. Representative Andrade, thank you for joining us here today on Off Mic. Tell us about your event.
Yes. Thank you for having me on, Mr. Puentes. We have been working really hard for the last several months to get a mass vaccination site in Lake County for the Hispanic community, which has been neglected. And I feel as the only fully Hispanic legislator in the state that it was my responsibility to get this initiative started. We were able to have a lot of great partners to join us along the way. And it's going to be this Saturday, May 8th, celebrating the Cinco de Mayo weekend and Mother's Day weekend, kind of all combined together. So it works perfectly. It's going to be at the Wolf Lake Pavilion in Hammond at 2324 Calumet Avenue in Hammond. And we made it very simple. No insurance required. You don't have to bring any type of legal status paperwork, immigration status, no residency required, no ID required. Just show up and come and get your vaccine. This is very important because we are going to be having bilingual Spanish-speaking volunteers on site. So because we are targeting the Hispanic community. Now, everybody's welcome, but we're literally targeting the Hispanic community. They could bring their mothers, grandmothers, fathers, nephews, nieces, whoever they want to bring. And if they speak only Spanish, we will have bilingual volunteers there. We're also going to be giving away roses because it is Mother's Day weekend. And Strax and Bentails, a local grocery store, has decided to donate the roses. So the first 250 mothers that come in will get a rose. And also the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana will be distributing food boxes there from 9 a.m. to noon. We're going to be having Eli Hernandez, who's a renowned musician in the local area, serenading the mothers. So he's going to be singing as well. So we have a lot of great things going on that day to get everyone vaccinated at the Wolf Lake Pavilion in Hammond.
Let me ask you this. We do know that the Hispanic community in Indiana has been hit hard by coronavirus, especially places in East Chicago. And we also know, though, that there has been some hesitancy among many groups to get the vaccine. What can you tell folks to sort of allay their fears that getting the COVID vaccine is the right thing to do?
I am glad you mentioned that, Mr. Puente. You know what? We have to rely on science. We have to understand that. I know it's hurt us a lot. I know that a lot of people are skeptical because, oh, the vaccine got developed too quickly, too fast. But we have to trust science and we have to move forward. Everybody wants to move forward. We want everyone vaccinated. We want everyone to be healthy because we want everything to go back to normality. And we're starting to see that as people are getting vaccinated, things are starting to open up more for the local restaurants, for local businesses. We all want to make sure that quality of life continues to improve in our country, in our state, and here locally. And the other skeptical thing is from the Hispanic community is like they never have the opportunity to get vaccine. Most of the times people grew up like my parents did without getting going to see a doctor because they just couldn't afford it. They didn't have medical insurance. They came as immigrants to this country, and they just never had the resources to be able to go see a doctor. And so we've eliminated those barriers so that people could come in and get vaccinated. That's why I am pushing this, because I believe as the Hispanic community, a lot of times they're very skeptical. It's like, man, I don't know if this works. I've never been vaccinated ever in my life. I've never even gone to see a doctor. You only go see one when you're dying. Everything was rub some Vicks on your chest and the bottom of your feet, and you're going to be fine.
That's right.
remember that? Rub some alcohol on your knees and the top of your forehead.
Take
a couple of tea, and you're going to be good. And so we are in 2021, right? So we are not back in the 1970s, 1980s, where stuff like that was done. We have to trust science, and there is a vaccine. It's out there. And we're going to be doing the Moderna vaccine there. The health department has been incredibly, incredibly good in helping us out with this. Dr. Box and Dr. Weavers, I got to give them a lot of credit. They as well, the health department here in the state, are fully helping us out with this vaccination clinic. But that's what I would say to people. We have to trust the process, and we have to get vaccinated to continue to move forward in the right direction for everybody's quality of life to improve.
So not only do you get the vaccine, you also get, if you're a mother, you can get a free rose that day. And there is also the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana. This must take a lot to actually pull this thing all together. And you got a mariachi singer or a Latino singer, at least there, a Spanish singer.
Yes, Eliasar Hernandez is going to be singing. You know what, Mr. Puentes, I always believe that it takes a team to get things done. And I got this idea back where actually, I think we were speaking earlier when I first met you at the Lake Ridge Schools, or also known as Calumet High Schools over here, that they did in Griffith/Calumet Township in Gary. And they did it for the African-American community. And when I saw Dr. Box there, right away, my eyes opened up and said, why can't we do this for the Hispanic communities? And I reached out to Dr. Box. We started working on this, Dr. Weaver, and it's been 2 months in the works. And then I started reaching out to local partners in the area to help us out. So we have the School City of Hammond partnered up with us, Elise Schrock, the chairman of the Indiana Latino Democratic Caucus, the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana. So we felt like, look, not only do we have a big, big right now safety health issue going on, the health issue with people not getting vaccinated, but as we all know, people are still hurting financially, and people are still hurting because of the pandemic. So why not stop by, also get a bag of groceries, get a box of food if you're in need. So the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana is partnering up with us. Strachan Ventil, the local grocery store, they're the ones going to be giving away the roses. Alfred Estrada from Burke and Constanza in Cranberry, attorney over there. He's an immigration attorney. So he partnered up with us because he felt this is great for our immigrant families. And then, of course, the Hammond Education Foundation, the Hammond Hispanic communities. And we added more Rice NWI. The Legacy Foundation now is partnering up with us as well. We're going to have state and local elected officials there. Representative Jackson, who represents the majority of Hammond, is going to be there. Representative Harris, who represents East Chicago. Mike Riepick, commissioner, is going to be there. Councilman Dave Hamm, El Manchaca. And I could go on and on. I don't want to miss anyone. The sheriff is sending his chief of staff on his behalf, our Lake County Sheriff, Oscar Martinez. Our trustee, Adrian Santor, our new trustee, he's sending his assistant, Mrs. DeLone, on his behalf. So this is great because we have local community advocates, we have non-for-profits in the local community, and we have local and state officials partner up to say, let's all work together, let's get this initiative pushed to the right direction so we could get people to get back to normality with their life, getting the vaccine. And, of course, Eli Hernandez is going to take time from his busy schedule today to sing, to serenade the ladies. And of course, everyone, we want to make sure everyone's welcome. It's not just for the Hispanic community. I know we're putting a big initiative for that. It doesn't matter who you are, stop by and get vaccinated. Yes, sir.
Well, Representative Andrade, you know, this is the first time I've had a chance to actually speak to you since you've taken office. That office has a long history of Latino representation dating back from Jesse Villalpando. He used to be I believe he had that seat, District 12 for Indiana House. And then, of course, Mara Candelaria Reardon. So you're walking into some pretty big footsteps there. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? I do see on your bio that you came from Chicago. You actually grew up in Pilsen. How did somebody from Pilsen make his way to Northwest Indiana?
Yes, Mrs. Puentes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Big shoes to fill. Villalpando's was the state rep. And then John Aguilera. You know,
That's right. John Aguilera. We can't forget John.
Yeah. Can't forget John because he actually, I would say he's one of the key makers. He actually, I think, served three terms and then he handed over to Mara. And Mara Candelaria Riordan has done a phenomenal job. She was the state rep 12 out of 14 years. And so I say I have a lot of big shoes to fill, but we've had good state reps who care for the community, hardworking Latinos, on a district that is not really an Hispanic district. If you look at it, it's only 3.8% Hispanic here in the House District 12. I'm very honored that the district decided to vote me in last year. We worked really hard, won over 5,003 votes on a year that everything went red. And I'm honored as a Latino myself to work hard for the constituents, born and raised in Chicago, grew up in Pilsen, moved into the region 21 years ago when I got married to my wife, Jackie. So Jackie has some friends and I have some friends that live here in the region. So that's what kind of brought us to the region. And we decided to settle here, build our family here. So yeah, we moved into the region 21 years ago, lived in Hammond for 18 years and now for the last 2.5 here in Munster where I reside. And I'm a small business owner. I'm a real estate investment owner, a remodeling company. And I truly believe in work ethic. And you have to care. You just cannot run for office. I ran for this position because I don't consider myself a politician. I consider myself a public servant. And Mara was going to run, was running for Congress, so that seat was vacant. I feel that we needed the leadership to come and take over because she had done such a great job. And so now I'm feeling these big shoes, and I'm excited. I'm out there every day working for our constituents. It's not just about passing good legislation down in the State House, but also working here together with our elected officials, listening to the concerns of our constituents and working with our advocacy groups here to make sure that we are pushing our region in the right direction. So it's truly an honor to serve. It takes a partnership. And like I mentioned earlier with the partnership that we got for the Hispanic vaccination, that's what I'm doing. I'm building that partnership to continue to work together with local and state elected officials for us to continue to pass good legislation, but also here in our local communities to make sure our region is doing good.
And this past session, was this your first session down at the State House?
Yes, freshman legislator, one of a kind. I tell everyone, I decided to run last year on a crazy year, nothing to expect, right? First time runner, no name recognition, like I said, an Andrade name, not known in the area. Pandemic hits, we can't fundraise, so that's the worst thing somebody could do, right? Running as a first timer, but we got creative. We did a lot of community outreach, and we work hard, and got our name out there. And got elected freshman year. I come into the State House, same situation. Because of the pandemic, everything is different than the norm. We are meeting at the government center for session. You can't really have events, so I had to work a lot to meet with people, to colleagues of mine. And it's been a phenomenal first session. I've been able to co-author 5 bills on the House side, and I've been able to be a co-sponsor in the Senate on 5 bills as well. And I have to also reemphasize on a supermajority Republican party in the State House because I am a Democrat and we are the super minority down there, but I believe in bipartisanism. I believe in working together. I cannot stress that enough because at the end of the day, we all care for the betterment of our Hoosiers. So yes, freshman year with the pandemic still upon us, and it was a unique experience for me in my first year over there.
You know, not to put you in the crosshairs over there, but what do you think about you mentioned the super majority that the Republicans have down there. The Democrats are in the minority, but you got a sort of a front seat view of this sort of civil war that they're having over there between the Republican lawmakers and Governor Eric Holcomb. Governor Holcomb just vetoed his third legislation coming from his colleagues in the GOP. What do you make of all that? I mean, the Republicans are saying that they support how Governor Holcomb has handled the coronavirus, but at the same time, they're trying to block everything he has to do. It seems to me you can't have it both ways. Either you support what he did or you didn't. And it seems like with the legislation they passed, they kind of want to tie the governor's hands during a time of an emergency, a pandemic.
Yes, it's what that statement that a lot of people say, too much power corrupts, right? You have power, you want more power. And I'm going to be very careful here with my words because I try to work with my Republican colleagues down there because we need to, right? They're the supermajority and we're the minority. So we've been able to work together on a lot of good legislation. But I personally feel the governor has done a great job with how he handled our state and how he's handled the pandemic situation here and how he's worked bipartisan with everyone. And I feel that maybe that's what rubs his Republican buddies the wrong way, where he's being bipartisan, where he's working with everyone. And that's what we need. We truly need elected officials to work for everyone. They can't put these visors of saying, hey, I am just going to work for the people that voted me in, which is maybe could be just Republican. Or I can say myself, well, I'm just going to work for just my Democrat party. I got elected to serve everyone. And I think a lot of times people forget that. And there's a fight between themselves, which I'm going to let them kind of deal with their own mess, right? let them hash it out. But I feel that Governor Holcomb has done a good job, to be honest with you. And I voted against that bill because I just felt that it wasn't the right thing where you're taking away the powers for the governor. Let him do his job. That's what he got elected to do.
I sometimes feel bad for Governor Holcomb because every time I see him come up, he's been up here a couple of times to announce a mass vaccination site in Gary. And even though he's Republican, this area is a historically Democratic area. He seems to be well-received and really liked. I'm not sure if he would get a better welcome even in some more conservative-leaning areas. He seems to be very popular in Lake County these days.
Well, and because people see that he's actually working and being bipartisan, I think at the end of the day, we all see that as human beings. We see past the political wall, right? Just on what he's done, he's come out here more often in Lake County than other governors have. And he's wanting to meet with the Indiana Black Caucus. He's wanting to meet with the Democrats. He's been wanting to meet with local elected officials. So I feel that he's really gone out of his way to want to work with everyone. And that's what we ask. You know, there's going to be policy differences. We understand because of party affiliations. And so we have different policies. But when it comes to the quality of life, when it comes to public safety, when it comes to doing things better for economic development for a state, I think you set those policies on the side and you get focused on what we all could do together to make sure our state is moving in the right direction. Policy does make it plays a big impact, but at the end of the day, we want to make sure that our quality of life is not being hurt and is not being jeopardized because we are too much caught up in our own agenda as a party. And so I go back to what he's done, and it feels like he has worked very bipartisan.
All right. Well, State Representative Mike Andrade, thank you so much for joining me here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Puente. Hope to see you or anybody from your team on Saturday to cover the press conference that we're going to be having. And one last thing, it's going to be this Saturday, May 8th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Pavilion Wolf Lake in Hammond, 2324 Calumet Avenue in Hammond. Please stop by, and I'll say this briefly in Espanol. Por favor, vayan este sábado, mayo 8, de 9 a 9 de la mañana, a 9 de la tarde, en el 2324 de la calle Calumet Avenue, en la ciudad de Hammond. Traigan a sus familiares, protéjanlo del virus para que puedan tener su salud completa. Thank you so much, Mr. Puente, for having me on.
Qué bueno. Muchísimas gracias, State Representative Mike Andrade. Thank you.
Have a great day.
And we'll be back with more Off Mic. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. Sunday is Mother's Day. In the past, perhaps becoming a mother might have kept a young mom from pursuing public office. But there's a local organization that is focused on getting moms elected. Off Mic intern producer Stephanie Daniels sat down with the head of the group.
I'm so excited to be with you today. So I'm Alexandra Eidenberg. I am the founder of an organization called We Will. I am Illinois State Chair for an organization called Vote Mama.
Could you tell us a little bit about Vote Mama?
Yes. So Vote Mama was founded 4 years ago by Luba Gretchen Shirley. And Luba is an amazing woman that ran for Congress in New York, sadly, she lost her race, but instead of taking those lemons and throwing them at the wall, she made some of the most amazing lemonade, and that's Vote Mama. Vote Mama helps women with children under the age of 18 get elected and stay elected. Not only do we help women get elected by endorsing them and giving them both money and resources, we also have a legislative agenda that includes all things that are families. So if it's family leave, if it's childcare legislation, and right now, one of our big focuses is to make sure that campaign funds can be used for childcare. And I'm really excited that this legislation is soon to be passed in Illinois, and it's been passed in quite a few states and is already passed federally, thanks to all the work that Vote Mama has done.
That's amazing. What brought you to Vote Mama? I know you said you are in everything Democratic. What made it come across your desk where you're like, I'm interested in this. This is something that I want to do.
So I founded an organization called We Will, which stands for Women Empowering Women in Local Legislation. And like many founders, we often are in a rut in our own organization. And I got to the point where I knew that We Will needed new leadership. And I proudly passed that baton to a gal named Erica Walker, who's taken the organization to new heights. We had an amazing, robust agenda, quite a bit of which passed under the Black Caucus this current session. And it's been absolutely fantastic. But I knew that I needed a new place to call home and do my political activity. And Vote Mama was one of the organizations that was at the front of mind. And back in the fall last year, as I was winding down things with We Will, I got a call from Luba, and she's like, hey, we're starting this state chair program, and here's what it's all about. And she didn't even get out the fourth word. And I was like, I'm your girl. I'm in. If we're getting moms elected, I'm on your team. And it's just been a really amazing process. We actually just wrapped up our April 6th election. So we had our muni races just a couple weeks ago. And in those races, four of our five candidates won, which was fantastic. And so we had a really good endorsement session. And it was great seeing these ladies win their races. And we're already planning for the next race. I feel like in perfect Illinois form, you finish one election and you're already on to the next. So we're all 2022. And one of those races that we're focusing on is Secretary of State with Anna Valencia. She is amazing. And I can't wait to see her get elected. And Vote Mama is all in for her.
How did you guys get to focusing on the mother aspect of Vote Mama?
So that's the crux of Vote Mama. It's about getting moms elected. And so when we look at the legislatures, whatever state it is, Illinois, New York, Wisconsin, whatever you're looking at, we know that already women are at a deficit for serving. But even more so, moms are. Only in recent years have we seen more women serving and more moms serving. Quite often, men through generations have served many years with children of all ages, but no one's ever wondered about them having kids. It's us women that bear that burden. And so instead of thinking of it as a burden that's a negative, it's really a positive, because we see through not only our own lens, but our children's lens and the lens of the community. It allows us to do really great things in the legislatures. And that's everything from the hyper-local school boards, library boards, parks and rec, all the way up to gubernatorial and secretary of state offices. It's time for moms. We know how to play hard both at work and at home, and that combo is killer when it comes to community.
I agree, definitely, as I'm a mother myself, so I definitely understand. It's nice to know that there's organizations that do represent us and see us, because sometimes it is easy to slip through the cracks as a mother. You know, you're that supporting role, but you're also behind the scenes at times, and you get swept under the rug. So I definitely agree on that. As far as the mothers who are out there who might want to reach out or become a part of Vote Mama, how would they go about that? What's the process and what things do they have to do?
Sure. So depending on how you want to engage, not everybody wants to run for office. That's a certain kind of personality. But a lot of people, you know, if they're not up for taking on a race, they're definitely up for helping other moms take on those races. And so everything from donating small dollars to big dollars, to attending local events, going door to door, phone banking, there's so many ways to get involved in campaigns. And often in mom campaigns, you can bring your kids with too. So you can be side by side with your 3-year-old hitting the phone phones or going door to door with your kids and getting exercise in at the same time as helping a local mom get elected. And it's a really great way to engage in your community, but also amplified. And I think that's one of, you know, there's so many things that this pandemic has done. And one of the nice things about it is it's actually helped campaigning in different ways. Like you could be almost on the ground in Texas because you could be doing events and phone banking and you could really be anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're in Illinois, if you're in Indiana or Wisconsin, you could be anywhere, anytime supporting a campaign as long as you care about that candidate and you're committed to their mission.
I want to get a little bit into detail about We Will. Could you tell me a little more about what is We Will?
Yeah, so We Will, similarly to Luba, I ran for Congress in the 4th here in Illinois, lost my race. And often when you run for office, you ran on a platform, important things that you wanted to create change on. My big thing is I wanted to see women and children at the table. I wanted those voices to be heard and I wanted them heard in the legislature. And so when I lost, it's stunk because all these ideas that the community had and these ideas that I was running on kind of got squashed. And so what happened was, is I ended up starting an organization called Mom Plus Baby. And part of the reason why I was Mom Plus Baby is, unlike many candidates, I accidentally got pregnant with twins during my race, which as a mom, you know how this goes, like family planning is always hectic. And then you get pregnant and it totally changes how things are for you, but also how people treat you, how the community treats you, the whole dynamic changes. And so I launched Mom Plus Baby and it turned out that I was not having a unique experience with how treatment happens, how engaging in both the workplace and home really shifts. It turns out it's this age old problem called having children. And so all these women wanted to be involved. And so fast forward, the organization has over 8,000 members. But what it turned out is that all these women wanted to be heard. And the question was, how do we get heard? And now We Will has had the opportunity to pass dozens of bills, everything from pro-vaccination legislation to efforts for diapers and wipes, but also big things like changing public education and making sure that our children are getting a more comprehensive history education. So it's the little to big things, but it's really about helping women have a voice and giving them a place to do it and having the kids come along with. So we've brought dozens of children to Springfield and had them there on the House floor with the legislators, getting to do page days, schlepping them through both, you know, the Stratton building and the Capitol building and just having the full on experience of getting to work side by side with the legislators. And so often adults don't even have that experience, but We Will. Mom Plus Baby later became We Will because we realized that our kids weren't always going to be babies. And so we transitioned into like the grown up version, which is We Will. And it's been just an amazing delight seeing the organization grow. But at the heart of everything We Will does is help women and children get involved in legislation and politics and do it in a way that's family friendly and helps everyday people have a voice.
Got it. And I love it. So We Will and Vote Mama are both two ongoing things, correct?
They are both ongoing. And so I'm the Illinois State Chair for Vote Mama. That in that role, I help with moms get elected. And at We Will, I just get to watch Erica and her entire board and all the members shine. And I know I have a back seat there. But like anything you start in life, when you found something, it's one of your babies. And so I just love seeing that baby thrive. And it is doing great things. And the board members are just absolutely amazing. And they're coming up with great ideas and new innovative legislation. And it's fantastic seeing the mission continue thriving.
Where can someone look to find you guys? Where are you located at? And as well as social media?
Yeah. So as it pertains to Vote Mama, so for getting involved with Vote Mama, you can go to votemama.org. And there's a lot of great ways to get involved. And of course, you can follow us on social. So it's at Vote Mama, basically on anything. If you want to go to Facebook, Twitter, we're at Vote Mama. If you want to get involved with We Will, it's wewillwomen.org. And again, that's our handle. That's our Facebook page. And so at We Will Women, or if you go to Facebook, We Will Women is the best way to find us. And ultimately, with either of the organizations, there's volunteer opportunities, there's opportunities to donate and get involved in campaigns, there's opportunities to go door to door, you could do phone banking, postcarding, there's just so many ways to engage. And what's wonderful about this virtual world we've all learned to live in is that there's this opportunity that no matter where you are, you can plug in and you can do it alone, with the kids, with some friends. There's just so many ways to engage. And I think particularly here to Illinois, there's some really exciting 2022 races coming up. I mentioned the Anna Valencia race. That Secretary of State race is very important. That office creates a lot of jobs. And Anna sees through an equity lens. And I can't think of a more important campaign to engage in right now.
Okay. Thank you, Alexandra, for joining us off mic today.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful being with you.
Our thanks to Alexandra Eisenberg, and we'll be back with more Off Mic. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. Earlier this week, Franciscan Alliance announced that it will be slimming down its Hammond Hospital from more than 200 beds to 8 beds, along with an emergency room. Franciscan Health Hammond was also known as St. Margaret Mercy Hospital for decades. The hospital started more than 120 years ago. Franciscan Alliance says it will continue to serve patients in Hammond and is still committed to the city, but that patients can also visit its facilities in Munster, Dyer, Crown Point, and Michigan City. But this move will mean Hammond, which is Northwest Indiana's largest city by population, will be without a full-service hospital. The move isn't welcome news for Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott Jr. I had a chance to speak to the mayor shortly after the news came down on Tuesday. What is your thought about what they're planning to do?
Mike, it's ironic that this is a Catholic institution that's making this decision to move away from poor people to where the rich people are. And when I was raised a Catholic, baptized Catholic. My kids all went to Catholic schools. I went to Notre Dame, so my family's a Catholic family. My wife's a practicing Catholic. And what we hear about in church every Sunday and what was preached to our kids and to me growing up was helping the poor and helping the disadvantaged. And this is a move away from the poor people, a move to where the wealth is and where the white people are. I mean, it's a move away from minorities. It's a move away from poor people. And and they're trying to, like, dress up a pig and put lipstick on a pig and saying, oh, everything's going to be wonderful. But they're demolishing their structure and moving out. So, mm-hmm. And I was given 1 hour's notice before the press conference today. 1 hour. They said, we're going to make an announcement today. I want to talk to you about it. I was like, I have a super busy day. I mean, I'm a mayor. They said, well, mayor, this is going to sting. And they told me what they were going to do. But they told me before, this is going to sting. Like, but you'll get over it, right? It's a disgrace. It's a joke. And the fact that it's coming from a Catholic institution, like if this was a bunch of bankers making this decision, that'd be one thing. But the fact that this is coming from a Catholic institution is disheartening, to say the least.
How do you think this is going to impact your community? You have a large number of African-Americans and Hispanics and working class people. People are saying, well, they can just go 5 miles away to St. Catharines or the community. How do you feel this is going to impact your city?
I think it's devastating. It's the poorest of the poor, the ones with the most transportation problems are living. This is their hospital. This is where my brothers were born. This is where my kids were born. Like, it's a Hammond institution. It's been in our city over a century. And for them to give the mayor 1 hour notice and say we're moving out is unconscionable. I'm surprised. I really am. Just a week ago, I was working very closely with the leadership of this hospital to get a huge grant, and I petitioned Senator Braun to help them, and we were working hand in hand and helping them to get this grant, and not one word was said to me just a week ago that, hey, by the way, next week we're going to rock your world and announce that we're closing down Hammond's only hospital. I mean, they could have mentioned that when, we were working together last week. No, we'll give the mayor 1 hour notice before we announce it, which is what I got, 1 hour. And I couldn't drop everything and run to the hospital like they wanted me to. And because of that, I got to read about it in the newspaper. That's how much respect they had for the mayor and for the city that they've been in for a century. And they give us 1 hour notice. We didn't get to have a chance to keep them. We didn't have a chance to do anything different. I was given 1 hour opportunity to come and have them explain to me why they're leaving us. So I'm not thrilled at all. I think it's a disgrace. I really do. It's embarrassing.
Is there
embarrassing to be, it's embarrassing that a bunch of holy men and women made this decision. That's what's really embarrassing, is how could they dress this up and make anybody feel good about it? This is a bunch of holy Catholics acting like a bunch of bankers, and they don't care about the poor. This is a slap in the poor's face. This is a slap in my face. This is a slap in the face of minorities that live in Northwest Indiana. And, you know, look at where Franciscan is building hospitals right now. Crown Point, Michigan City, Munster, Dyer. All predominantly white, all very wealthy. And they're moving out of Hammond. Get away from the poor people, move to where the yuppies are. That's what they should teach it in Catholic school.
Is there anything that you may look into in terms of trying to prevent this, either petitioning Medicaid and Medicare services, or, I mean, are you looking at maybe options?
Mike, I got 1 hour notice today. When I woke up this morning, this is the last thing in the world. I mean, if you had told me when I woke up this morning that something that's been in your city for 100 years is going to give you 1 hour notice before they leave, you know, I would have said you're crazy, Mike. Why would the hospital do such a thing? It's one of our largest employers. We've been very, very good to Franciscan, St. Margaret's over the years. We've had a very close relationship. Mm-hmm. And they give us 1 hour notice before they skip town and move to where the yuppies are. Yeah. They really thought that they were going to try to smooth this. Like, we'd be all fine with it. it's just so naive on their part. It's really bungled public relations. I'll give them an F on their public relations. Like, no outreach, no communication. Just drop a bomb and say, screw you. And this is a Catholic institution. It's hard not to question your faith. It really is. It's like, seriously? Like, it's almost like everything that I've been taught as a Catholic all these years, they just spit on it, and they don't care. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you know, we do what we want. You know, right. We got to save a couple bucks, you know, and these poor people are costing us lots of money.
And that was Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott Jr. And we'll be back with more Off Mic. Welcome back to Off Mic, Electro Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. Well, if you're a comic book nerd like I am, you may like this segment. Recently, DC released a 4-hour-long Zack Snyder Justice League movie, while Marvel released a sitcom-style WandaVision on Disney+. So, which is better? Off-mic producer intern Andrea Doty sits down with comic book nerd Emily Gomez to find out.
I have seen all of WandaVision, and I just recently watched the 4-hour-long Zack Snyder's Justice League. So, I got lots to say.
Yeah, which one is your favorite so far?
Well, it's hard to pick a favorite considering one is a TV show, one is a movie, and one is excruciatingly long. And just kidding. I think I enjoyed, actually, to be honest, it's shocking. I actually think I enjoyed Justice League more than I enjoyed WandaVision. Not to say that WandaVision wasn't good, but I've always been a big fan of DC Comics characters. So to see them done a bit more justice, no pun intended, was very, it felt good to see.
Victor? Victor?
Shit! What are you doing? It's my auto defense system. It senses danger.
Victor, no!
Victor! Can't control us!
No!
Kal-El, no!
Okay. Well, what do you like about the new Justice League movie?
So, I did not realize that how much... Okay, well, to give some background, when Justice League was released, it was drastically different from what director Zack Snyder's vision originally was. Zack Snyder had to step down from the movie because his daughter tragically committed suicide. So, another director had to step in, which was Joss Whedon. Not a fan of that guy. So, I really didn't expect much from him. And so the movie was edited heavily by him, and a lot of scenes were cut out. And it, the overall tone of the movie was very different from what Zack Snyder had intended. It had a more like goofy feel to it, and because I think there was a lot of criticism at the time about how DC was too serious. It didn't have those quippy one-liners like the MCU. So this was the attempt to, like, I guess, be MCU-ish, considering Joss Whedon had actually directed the first Avengers film and Avengers Age of Ultron. So Zack Snyder had said quite a while ago that a Snyder Cut exists. And, oh, I'm releasing my version. You will see it one day. And I was very like, yeah, sure. Because I really thought that film was not salvageable. I didn't think there was anything that could be done to make it better. And I didn't even believe that there was really that much editing that had been done to the movie. I thought, like, you know, this was what it was going to be. And maybe there was slight changes, but I didn't think there was that many. But so I ended up watching the Snyder Cut. I was very against it for a long time because I had heard it was going to be 4 hours. They were adding new scenes, and there was like new characters that were going to be in it, like Joker and Darkseid. So I was just like, how is this going to be good? Like, what 4-hour movie is good? But you know, I pushed myself and I watched the whole thing, and I was pleasantly surprised. A lot of the new scenes that were added a lot of depth to characters, especially Cyborg. It made it so that audiences could sympathize with him a lot more. You understood more why he resented his father so much, and you understood how he felt with the way people perceived him. They looked at him like he was a freak. In the comics, though, there's a lot of talk about him being an athlete and playing football. I think it was his like plan to play football in college, but because of his cybernetics, the coaches believed that he had an advantage over the other students that were trying out. So they told him, no, you're not allowed, and we're not even going to give you the opportunity to try out. So that really, really was a blunder to his like self-esteem, I guess. And that also created that resentment for being a cyborg and from his father who had given him those parts. So I wish they would have touched more on that in the Snyder Cut, but, you know, I'll take what I can get.
Great. Do you think this will put DC on the same level as Marvel, or do you still see the competition between the two?
Honestly, I think the DCEU has a lot of work to do to build up the credibility that Marvel has. At this point, Marvel has a solid foundation to how their movies run and what to expect when you watch the movies, which personally I actually find it to be their downfall, because there's a lot of lack of creativity and imagination with Marvel at the moment. I feel like it's always the same formula, and, you know, it gets a little boring. At least for me, it's a bit boring. But general audiences seem to love it. But DC, I think this is a step in the right direction. And they have a whole slate of movies that they plan to do. And I'm kind of just like, But with the Flashpoint storyline, it gives opportunity to create a new universe, which DC is very known for that, for doing events where the universe is rewritten and we get new takes on new characters. So there can always be something like that that can happen, because let's face it, the humble beginnings of DCEU are not so, you know, not so noteworthy. So I would say Marvel probably still has a tight grip on moviegoers, those who aren't fan of comics and those who are. But the DCEU has a lot of loyal followers, especially those who love Zack Snyder.
What do you think about the WandaVision series being on Disney Plus?
I think that WandaVision was something that really had to exceed expectations, because it has been quite a long time since the last Marvel release. So it definitely had big shoes to fill. People were very, very much like itching for new Marvel content for a while. So this was also the first Marvel Studios show, because Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and the Defenders, Punisher also, those were Netflix Marvel series, and they weren't exactly produced by Marvel Studios, but it was an affiliation with Marvel Studios. So what I knew was that the quality was going to be upped, like, tremendously. And it needed to be, because a character like Wanda has these elaborate, mystical, like, magic powers that require very good graphic effects. And the show did not, well, for many, it didn't disappoint. I think that the concept of it was very ambitious for Marvel, because it was their first, like, sitcom style. We got something cooking and it's looking good. We got something cooking and knew we could. In the beginning, and then, of course, then it drifted into the same Marvel formulaic pattern, which is big villain reveal, epic fight, and resolution at the end. And then mid-credits for the next Marvel, you know, release, which I get, very tired of it. I think at this point Marvel makes content so that it could all add up to something bigger. Which, I mean, I guess that's not the worst thing ever, but again, I think that it leaves opportunity for imagination and creativity. And, like, I just want something that could stand on its own. Something that's so good and doesn't have to connect to anything else. And there was a lot of theories going around with WandaVision for bigger things. Mostly that it was going to introduce the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But a lot of people were quite disappointed when they found out that that wasn't the case. But I'll have to say, I don't really think it's the fans' fault for that. A lot of the cast members were kind of hyping up this big, like, guest appearance. And I quote, as Elizabeth Olsen said, Miss Wanda herself had said that there was going to be a big cameo that was on par with Luke Skywalker's cameo in The Mandalorian. So as a self-proclaimed Star Wars nerd, I expected something crazy. I was thinking Magneto or Professor X. Something like that, something crazy, but we didn't get that. We did get Evan Peters, who plays Quicksilver, who is her brother, in the Fox X-Men. He had a cameo appearance on the show, but there really wasn't any depth to that. It was just a joke type of thing. So I was disappointed with that. I thought that there was a lot that could be explored there, but I guess we're going to have to watch Doctor Strange to see the rest of Wanda's story unfold.
Wow, well, thanks, Emily. Emily is a self-described comic book nerd in Northwest Indiana. Emily, thank you for joining us tonight on Off Mic.
And thank you for having me.
Our thanks to Andrea Doty and Emily Gomez. And that's all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank all my guests and my producers, including my student intern producers, Andrea Doty and Stephanie Daniels. You can hear this episode again as a podcast by going to lakeshorepublicradio.org. For me, Michael Puente, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Have a nice weekend.